Also greet you in Jesus' name this morning. I seek an interest in your prayers this morning. We appreciate your prayers. I getting ready for the message this morning. I felt like maybe my cup wasn't very full, and I just really struggled with pulling something together. But I am thankful that God's word is there for us, and there's always something there. And I would like this to be an encouraging message this morning. So Friday night, I still hadn't narrowed a message down what I was going to share this morning, and I just was just really just struggling. I felt like I had some things I wanted to say, but I didn't really feel any clear direction where to go with the message. And I was talking to one of my friends, and I said, maybe you can give me some inspiration for what I should share about. And he just mentioned that he said he was talking to one of his coworkers that day, and they were talking a little bit about some of the young people in their church, and how they were kind of discouraged about the commitment that they saw in those young people. And like, in other words, I think maybe he was a Sunday school superintendent or something, and they maybe didn't have their ducks in a row quite as good as our Sunday school superintendents do, where they have a whole list made out. But anyhow, he was complaining a little bit how, you know, you had young people that didn't want to commit to having part in the service on Sunday because, well, they might have something going, or, yeah, maybe they'll have too much going Saturday night or whatever. And then he said it went from that to, you know, a family in the church that was facing some hard times. And then he said he was telling his friend how they were trying to help their children through some difficult circumstances, some different difficult relationships. And he said one verse kept coming back to his mind, and you can turn to 2 Timothy 2. And while you're turning there, a little while ago, I listened to an audiobook on the Fox Company. It was a group of Marines in the Korean War. And without going into a lot of detail on that, General Douglas MacArthur was the supreme commander of the United Nations forces that were fighting against the North Koreans. And Mao of China had warned the United Nations and Douglas MacArthur that you get north of the 38th parallel in North Korea and we're going to intervene and you're going to be in trouble. And Douglas MacArthur just ignored that, and he pushed deep into North Korea just south of the line between China and North Korea. And it wasn't too long into that, and there was somewhere in the number of 10,000 Marines. They found out that they were vastly outnumbered and surrounded by the Chinese, maybe up to 100,000 Chinese soldiers. And these were ruthless soldiers. And they weren't very well armed, but they were vastly outnumbered, these Marines. And the Marines found out that their only chance of survival was going to be to a mountain pass. It was called Tok Tong Pass. It was a narrow gorge in the Nangni Mountains. I'm not exactly sure how you pronounce that. But that pass had to be held open at all costs, because if it wasn't, they were surrounded by 100,000 Chinese, and they would be wiped out. And so there was the Fox Company, some Marines, that were tasked with climbing a hill and overlooking that pass and there was 234 Marines, and they were led by Captain William Barber, and their job was to keep that pass open at all costs, because that was the lifeline for the rest of those Marines to get south, out of there, and into safety. And they got up there onto that hill and realized that there was up to 10,000 Chinese already occupying that hill. And it was several days. There was 234 Marines fighting against up to 10,000 Chinese. And it was wave after wave. The Chinese tried to keep that pass open. And these Marines just dug into their foxholes and just held that pass open. And ultimately, three quarters of those Marines were either killed or wounded. But the tenacity of those men to hold that open, they knew what was at stake here. And they knew that they were going to hold this open at all costs. So 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And you know, we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. And we have a lot more important job this morning than to hold open a mountain pass. And as I was pondering this verse and just kind of thinking about what it means to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, I don't think I need to tell any one of you here that the Christian life isn't guaranteed to be an easy life. And there's going to be temptations, there's going to be challenges, there's going to be interpersonal relationships, there's going to be struggles. And what I'm thankful for is that we have everything we need to be victorious. And As I was thinking through this all, I went to the Marines website, and I want to be careful not to glorify the Marines, because this is another country. We're a part of another kingdom, but there is some things that I think we can draw some parallels and some things that we can learn and look into God's word and be inspired, maybe anew. And if the message this morning has a goal, it would be that we could all be inspired to endure the hardness, endure the hard things of life, and be prepared to face those things. And if you're taking notes this morning, you're going to have a hard time of it, because I have scattered thoughts. And like I say, I just really struggled with what to share and pulling all my thoughts together, but I trust God will be faithful in opening this up for us. The Marines, one of their slogans is Semper Fidelis, and you've probably seen that already, and that means in Latin, always faithful. And a quote from their website says, always faithful, loyal to something. You can't be loyal just in and of yourself. You are loyal to your fellow Marines, the Marine Corps, and your country. End of quote. The Marine Corps emphasizes intense personal resolve, determination, and discipline. And to become a Marine, a young man or woman has to go for 13 weeks, basically no communication with their family other than writing letters, postcards. And they're tested to their max with physical endurance. They're deprived of sleep. They're deprived of food. And it's all in preparing them to face the battles ahead. And another quote from their website says, we need young men and women who can think, act, and move with a sense of purpose in order to get our mission done. End of quote. And, you know, that's how it is for us as Christians as well. But the difference between the Christian and his battles and the Marine and their battles are who their leader is and what the goals are and what the goals of their life are and who they have helping them. And the Marines focus on intense personal resolve. And while that goes along with our battles as well as a Christian, there's more to that. There's the thing of our relationship with Christ. And I'd like to turn to Ephesians 6. And you'll recognize that as the armor of God. And this talks about what the Christian needs to do to prepare. And the Christian looking ahead and preparing to face the battles they will face. I'll read verses 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about by the truth, about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And victory in the Christian life isn't by accident. If we're going to have victory and if we're going to have, if we're going to endure as good soldiers, this whole armor of God is what we need to experience that. And, you know, I'm sure we've all been tempted to maybe let out parts of this armor and or not face our battles fully prepared, but This is so important for victory. So I basically have 3 points this morning that I'd just like to just kind of explore a little bit more. And those are actually the core values of the Marine Corps. And those core values are honor, courage, and commitment. And I'd like to just take a look a little bit about what the Bible says about those three things. And again, quoting, honor guides the Marines to exemplify the ultimate in ethical and moral behavior. Never lie, never cheat or steal. Abide by an uncompromising code of integrity. Respect human dignity and respect for others. Honor compels Marines to act responsibly, to fulfill our obligations, and to hold ourselves and others accountable for every action. And like the Marines, Christians are called to live a life of honor and integrity. And failure to do so will leave us vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. The Marines understand that the discipline that it takes to live an honorable life, that's the same kind of discipline that it takes to endure hardness and be victorious in the battles that they face. And as Christians, I'm so thankful that we don't have to depend on our own personal resolve. We can, Jesus talked about that, He left us with a comforter, and he left us with the Holy Spirit to give us that power to help us live that kind of an honorable life. Last Sunday, Joe talked a little bit about this honorable life. And those of you that were up at Cornerstone, Joe talked about our righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. And basically what that was a righteousness that obeyed the letter of the law. It looked good. They did the right things, but they were headed to hell. They did not have a true heart, holiness. And Jesus said that we need to have righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of those in order to enter heaven. And Matthew 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount, if it's been a while since you read that again. Jesus talked about what this honorable life looks like. He taught his audience what it means to live an honorable life. In verse 16 of chapter 5, he talked about living a life that honors and glorifies God. In verse 20, he says he calls them to a higher standard of moral purity. In verse 33 through 37, he calls them to a higher standard of speech. In 38 through the end of the chapter, he calls them to a higher level of love. In chapter 6, he talks about our giving and forgiveness and serving only one master. It's living a life of honor, it's living a life of discipline, and a life of holiness. And just like the Marines that have to follow a high conduct, a high level of conduct, a high standard of conduct, Christ expects us as his soldiers to follow that high level of conduct and live a holy life if we are to endure the battles that we face. Another thing that in Philippians 4, in the English Standard Version, it says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." You know, living a high moral life is more than just what we do. It's about what we think. Along with this honorable life, Jesus in Matthew 18 talked about accountability. And one of the things that is going to help us as Christians live an honorable life is if we have brothers and sisters beside us that hold us accountable. And Jesus also talked about in Matthew 7, he talked about being careful that you don't judge each other and the difference between judging each other and holding each other accountable. Jesus talks there in Matthew 7 about taking care of the matters in your own life before being critical and judgmental of others. But let's make sure that our lives are open to those around us as our brothers when they see things in our lives that we're willing to be open to that. But then there's the other side of that it's a little comfortable to sit back and just watch everything happen. We're also called on to be the other side of that accountability. So let's make sure that we're faithful in that, in helping each other endure hardness. In order to endure hardness and come through the hard experiences of the Christian life, we need to live a consistent, honorable life. The second point I have is courage. And again, referring to, I'm quoting their website, "Courage is the mental, moral, and physical strength ingrained in Marines. It carries us through the challenges of combat and aids in overcoming fear. It is the inner strength that enables us to do what is right, to adhere to a higher standard of personal conduct, and to make tough decisions under stress and pressure. And if you turn with me to 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 and 8, Paul says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." And Paul suggests that fear can cloud our thinking and affect our judgment. And I don't know if you've ever been paralyzed by fear, but I've been places already where I've been fearful enough that I had to stop and like catch myself like, I'm not thinking clearly here. And that's one thing that Paul is saying here, that the spirit of fear is not of God. And the spirit of fear is gonna keep us from showing the love and sound mind that is needed to endure hardness. And if we find ourselves being fearful in our Christian life, it's important that we do something about that, because the spirit of fear can lead to bondage, it can lead to defeat, and seek help. Ask, you know, talk about it with someone else and ask God to give you the power of love and of a sound mind. And the devil knows that if he can succeed in overcoming Christians with fear, the battle is already won. Let's turn to John 14. This is Jesus towards the end of his life. He's talking to his disciples. And it's Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And I had to, he says, "Not as the world giveth." And I had to think, what is the difference between that peace and the peace that the world giveth? And I think it's possible for, you know, like the Marines and soldiers of this world to go into a battle and not be fearful. But I don't think, or I know, they cannot have the peace that a Christian can have with his relationship with God. And Jesus is saying, "I'm going to give you this peace. This peace is going to be the thing that will carry you through, even as you're facing the hard times." Jesus knew that they were going to have some struggles ahead and that he was going to leave them, and he wasn't going to be there to answer their questions and give them guidance. And he left them know that this peace was going to be there for them, and they could rely on that to get them through the difficult things in life. And there's many times that Marines or soldiers come back from a battle and they struggle with PTSD and the horrors of war and even the guilt of what they have done personally. And that's not the peace that's not what we as Christians need to experience. We can have the peace of God as we face the hard things and rely on his power in our lives to give us peace and power to live victoriously. Number three, commitment. Commitment is the spirit of determination and dedication. It leads to the highest order of discipline for individuals and units. It is the ingredient that enables constant dedication to the Corps and the country. It inspires unrelenting determination to achieve victory in every endeavor. And when the Marines go through their training, there is a lot of emphasis put on commitment to the country and commitment to each other. And there's, when a Marine is wounded in battle, or when a unit is in heavy fighting and there's Marines that are wounded, the others will risk their lives to go back and get their wounded brothers and fellow Marines. And it's commitment that probably most people would never think they could have. And Jesus talks about the commitment we need to have in order to endure hardness as well. Turn to Luke 9. Luke 9, verses 23 and 24. And Jesus said, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. And Jesus is asking for a daily commitment. Jesus is asking for our allegiance. He's asking for us to give up the things that are important to us and follow him. And he was asking this of his followers back when he walked on this earth, and he's asking the same thing of us today. And again, last Sunday, I think it was Sunday, maybe it was Saturday evening, Dale Whitmer talked about the one thing that's important for youth is learning to serve. And until a young person can learn to serve, they haven't experienced the fullness of life. And I think that goes along with this commitment, this thing of living for Christ, living for others. And when it comes to commitment, our feelings really don't matter. Jesus isn't asking us to be committed when we feel like it, or when it's convenient, or when it's easy. But Jesus is asking us for the commitment, doing the right thing, whether we feel like it or not. And I guess the challenge I would have for myself and each one of us is, when Jesus looks down at my life, what kind of commitment does he see? Or when my brothers and sisters look at me or think about me, what kind of commitment do they think of? Do they think of the commitment that, I don't know if I'm going to be able to count on him or her? Or does our name come to their mind and they think, you know what? I'll ask them and they'll make it work. They're committed enough that they're gonna do whatever they can to make it work. And in the Marines, excuses don't work. There is only one thing that matters, and they are there to win. And the same is true with Christians. Jesus expects commitment. And you know, I'm sure back in Paul's day, when Paul talked about enduring hardness as a good soldier, my guess is probably the soldiers that he was aware of probably went through a lot of the same training as modern day Marines. And Paul knew something about this commitment. And you look at Paul's life and the commitment that it took to go through the hard times that he went through and still make the choice for following Christ and doing the right thing and encouraging fellow believers and being a faithful example, Paul knew what this commitment was like. And I guess that's the challenge I would like to leave with us, is are we going to be showing the kind of commitment that it takes to stand strong and to endure the hardness that we're going to face? Are we going to be that committed that every morning when we wake up, we ask God for the strength to go through the day, and we ask God for his help, his strength, his power to help us have the commitment that no matter what it takes, we're going to be faithful? And, you know, there's rewards that go along with being faithful and enduring hardness. And in the Marines, there's the stigma and the recognition that goes along with serving the country. And there's various medals that if a Marine shows bravery above and beyond the call of duty, they'll get the Medal of Honor for serving their country. And for a Christian, we are also promised a reward. And I have to think of the song. There's a song that I don't remember all of the song, but one of the things it says is, "The joy that I feel in knowing I have chosen to do right, to know the past is gone and I can sleep at night." And there's a peace that Jesus promised us that comes along with doing what's right and enduring hardness, that, you know, the Marines and the people serving this country know nothing about. And that's, we can be thankful for that. And then also, Jesus promises us the joys of heaven. And that was talked about this morning, how the difference between heaven and hell. And there is no way we can really fathom the joys of heaven. And we certainly have something to look forward to. And closing verse, I'd like to turn to Matthew 25. And verse 34. "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And you know, that's, as Christians, that is our reward for being faithful and for enduring the hardness as a good soldier. Shall we kneel for prayer?